Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Listen, respect my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. Bring them out.
One more day, Waddle and Sylvie filling in for the boy.
Has the panic subsided?
I got to tell you this story. First, Hoodie is on vacation next couple of days. Get you set for the big anniversary show. He'll be back tomorrow.
He's still cell phone friendly. He sent me a text last night of him doing play-by-play of a Reds spring training game in the voice of Jeff Brantley that had me peeing my pants.
He's obsessed with that. He loves that. He loves doing that impression. Almost as much as he loves doing impressions of me.
Yeah.
Right?
Woo.
Right?
Yeah.
Waddle. And so with Hoodie on vacation and us having a Sox game in the afternoon, Zetterman had the idea, let's have Cap do the solo show in the afternoon. Let's make Waddle and Sylvie work
early,
and wake up early and
get into traffic.
Let's get the money's worth and
panic about getting to the office on time.
Yeah, this was the closest that I came, I think, in all my years to maybe not getting here to a show on time
in 25 plus years.
That's the professional thing that I freak out the most. Like, you cannot make it to a show late. That could never happen.
Or there may be some extenuating circumstances, an act of God that keep you from your microphone, God forbid.
That's different. Like, if there would ever be an emergency, but if you should not, if you would oversleep, if you don't allow enough time.
Two alarms or one for you?
Two.
Me as well.
Yeah, 6:01 and 6:11. Oh, no, 5:11.
I was going to say. That's why you were late.
No wonder.
Up at 6.
5:01, 5:11. Yesterday, it was clear sailing. Today, it said clear sailing.
Yeah, it was not good.
Not so much. So as people know, or at least the ones who kind of use the Kennedy, the Kennedy Project is underway.
Oh, yes, it is.
And it's underway for the next 3 years.
Get your ass out of the left lane. Get your ass into the right lane.
Explain that.
Strangely enough, the left lane coming down the Edens is the one that they, as you get to the exchange, that they've got closed off. So everyone that's in the far left lane has to merge over to the middle lane. Those that travel in the right lane, as I learned quickly to do, have a little easier path. And then when you get near the express lane,
everybody off.
No. You put your left turn signal on, you find a gap, and then you shoot the gap.
You're right. No, you don't cut someone off. You just wait for someone.
You be careful pointing the finger at people driving, let's just say, aggressively. I've seen you take the right lane all the way down Ohio, and then cut off.
I shoot the gap.
Of course.
I wait for the moment. I wait for someone who's lagging.
I'm not causing accidents.
Right.
Like, I mean, there is, I think, a reasonable and reputable way to do it, but that's how you got to do it. Once you get onto the express lane, it's still a little clogged up, but then it opens up and you're clear sailing. I was talking to Roz, though. Roz said there was two accidents around Irving Park that really caused the problem.
So this Kennedy project...
It'll sting you.
It's 3 years, and in Chicago construction time, it's like dog years. Yeah. That's at least a half a decade.
That's
at least 5 to 6 years, the way things work around here.
Take it from a guy who was in Boston when the big dig started and was only supposed to be a couple of year project.
It lasted 20 years. Is that the tunnel?
Yes.
Yeah. Which is nice now, right?
It's great. I mean, you zip around the city, downtown Boston, very easily, and you get to the airport quickly, but in big cities, nothing happens quickly.
So when I left the house today, I left at 5:40. And it said the GPS, the old Waze, and Waze has been more accurate lately, It said 618.
I printed out a MapQuest map on my home computer.
You still don't know the old map. So when I'm a religious map. I'm a real no, not MapQuest. I'm a religious GPS user. Usually yeah. Waze. I've toyed going back and forth throughout the years, which is more accurate. I've gone to the Google Maps. I like Waze these days, and it's usually accurate. There's nothing worse. I was talking to Shay about this. Is there anything more stress inducing than watching the GPS go up? It said 618 when I left, and it went from 618 to, and then you get the old icon that comes up, traffic delayed ahead, 4 minutes, 618 to 622. Gives you the old warning.
Yeah.
No big deal, 4 minutes. Then the old 4 minute icon comes up again. Traffic is building up ahead. 622 to 626.
It's like sitting outside your gate at an airport as they delay your flight. It just keeps climbing.
And the next thing you know, it's from the start time of 618 arrival. Now all of a sudden, I've got a 648 arrival time.
Oh boy!
And I'm freaking out. I'm calling Waddle now. And I'm like, I don't know about this. This thing keeps building. I'm calling Shay. I'm getting...
I'm up in Chopper 2. What I think you need to do is get your ass out of the left lane. Get your ass into the right lane. Find a spot that you can dive over left in. Do it strategically. Don't cause an accident. You'll be here just fine.
And wouldn't you know, I was going upstairs to get a cup of coffee, and you come in at about 6:45.
Yeah, 6:40. Yeah, 6:45. Whatever. Yeah, what? So I did make it on time. My question that I said to Shay, though, was... what are the most stress-inducing things that we invite into our life, but yet we continue to still do them?
Connecting flights. Because you're eventually going to get here, and you may be a little bit... You could miss a connecting flight, and you could be stuck in that town for a day or two.
And yet you still do them?
Sometimes if you have to. If you have to take a connecting flight, you have to take a connecting flight.
That's sort of a way, you know what I mean? Like, I don't have to watch the GPS. Like Shay was saying to me, Shay, you explain, like, I don't have to watch the GPS. I'm going to get here when I get here. But yet I still invite that, and all it does is it makes me angry.
Right. All it's going to do is add stress. There's nothing you can do about the ETA timer on the GPS. You're going to arrive when you arrive. There's nothing you can do about the traffic. All the ETA thing is going to do is add stress on your commute. That's it. But could very easily just shut it off.
Can you, though?
Probably. Obviously, Sylvie can't. That's where it becomes unavoidable. Like, Tommy, I thought connecting flight's a great one because... I don't ever want to have a connecting flight, but sometimes you get routed through Atlanta, and that's a pain in the ass.
Right, especially if you get stuck there.
You don't want to take a connecting flight through Atlanta.
But sometimes it's unavoidable.
Connect through Lexington, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be the only guy or gal in the terminal. It's awesome. But look, I don't know that you can turn off the ETA as you still got to keep an eye on it because it may have an alternate path that gets you in earlier.
You know, what I've learned, and people are saying that too. What I've learned, at least through Waze, is whenever I've done that, whenever it says get off at Cicero or get off at Elston or take this path, usually that way builds too.
Of course, because everyone's doing what you're doing.
Right, or like you're catching more lights, and it really is no better. I usually stay on the path now.
I would think that this would actually give you a weird charge because you're the same guy that likes to drive with no gas in his car to see how far he can get before the car absolutely stops running.
Yeah, do you know this game, Shay? Do you know the game?
I've heard about this.
Gas station roulette, or gas tank roulette. Because I find that still to be accurate. I've never been burned by a gas tank roulette, where it says 15 miles till empty. And I like to play how close I can get to zero.
See, what that's what I'm saying. You're inviting
until
anxiety.
Until I get burned.
You're inviting anxiety.
Well, I mean, I haven't been burned. So if it says 4 miles, I know I've got the 4 mile buffer.
Yeah, but the thing, the gauge in most cars now goes down. It just goes low. It gets to like 15 or 16, and then you don't get down to one, do you?
My car does it at 30, and it's the worst thing ever.
It goes to low, is all it
says. Because I'll get out of the car, and it'll say something like 36 miles to empty, and I'm feeling comfortable. All right, I know I'll... Then I get back in, and it just says low.
Low.
That's not good.
No.
Then I have no idea what the number is.
Oh, really? It just says low? It doesn't give you a countdown? Well, wait a minute. You need mission control. You need a good old-fashioned countdown.
I didn't even think that the cars, newer cars, had that.
Oh, I have it.
All the way down to one? All the way.
Well, I've never reached one. Like...
Listen, I think
the lowest I've gone is like 3 or 4.
I would have more anxiety about being on the side of the road somewhere where I don't want to be on the side of the road because I ran out of gas than walking through this door a couple minutes late. My anxiety would be significantly higher having to find a way to get to the gas station and put gas in my car to get my butt home versus walking in here at 7:02.
And I know a lot of people have tweeted me saying, Sylvie, you're going to ruin your car. Like, there's something with gas lines.
I didn't know that.
I think if you play around with that, you can screw up something with your car.
Not the RAV4. Sounds like the RAV4 is immune to that.
Iron everything, yeah. Take care of that car. So what are the things in life that we invite that are like, whether it's technology or something, but probably just provide more stress?
Children.
It is true. Like the first few years of life, I'm like, I can't go out. I only want to be with my kids. I remember when there was a station function. I'm like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just hanging out with Mason. Now I'm like, guys, what do you want to do?
Right.
Got to get away from the kids.
Whoo, Saturday at 3. Gosh, I got to find something. Dude, I got to get out of here.
Charlie in Lake Moore. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Pete Wood, club member.
Thank you. Woo-hoo. That means preset one on your radio. Set us there, 100.3 HD2. ESPN 1000, or of course that ESPN Chicago app. What's on your mind?
Sylvie, I'm just like you. I ride my gas tank all the way down, and there's something in there. I actually forgot one time, and it got to zero.
Oh, boy.
I was blinking zero, and I got to a gas station within like a mile, but I think there's something built in where there's some extra mileage built in.
See,
Don't tell him that, Charlie, because he'll be stuck at Irving Park going home today trying to play this game.
See, I'm not willing to push it that. I'm not willing to push it that low. I'm not willing to do that.
I only pushed it that low that one time. Usually it's like 10.
Well, let me ask you guys a question on that front as well. If you're willing to play that game, that's on you. Are you comfortable calling me to pick your ass up on the way home if you play the game and lose?
Yeah, I think if you're playing the game, you must then walk with the gas tank.
Okay, so you have to face the consequences.
You're doing a little hiking. I think that's fair. You're doing hiking.
Don't call me if you're playing, you know, gas tank roulette and you get burned.
What's the crap in life that we invite because we think it's good, but it just simply stresses us out? The creeping up of the GPS, 312-332-3776. How about the Bulls? Do we invite the Bulls into our life, and does that only simply... And then when we tune into a Bulls game at night, like last night, and they are down 23-1, is that shame on them, or is that shame on us? We'll debate that coming up next.
Checkmate 1-6, immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Cap'n J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Win $400 in NCAA tournament bets and Kentucky Derby bets while enjoying $4 Sam Adams beers. Details at HawthorneBettingBars.com. Waddle and Sylvie filling in for Cap and Jay Hood. Hoodie's on vacation. Cap will fill in for us. The short show today before Sox baseball. He'll crosstalk with Carmen Yurko at 2. Then go solo from 2:30 to 3. Then we've got Sox baseball. Shane Norling. What do they call you? What does he call you? Snorbore?
Snorling, yeah. My email.
Snorling, but what's Snorbore?
My email's Snorling, and then he shortened it to Snorbore and Snore It Up and all sorts of things. It's wonderful. Now that's what we all went out, Chris, Tyler, Adam, and Jake all saw Charlie do stand-up last night.
Oh, how was it?
He was wonderful. He was very good. He did about 7 minutes. Very funny. And on the way out, Chris Black said to me, "See you, Snorbor. Have a nice day." So it catches on.
That's
everybody
your
calls
nickname
me that now.
Huh?
Yeah, pretty good. Snorbor.
I love Charlie. Charlie's very funny.
Chuck makes me laugh.
He's a great addition to the radio station.
Nothing shakes him.
No.
Nothing. Constantly under control.
All right, boys, let's get started with Shot or No Shot, shall
he
we?
Did he get heckled at all?
Did you guys heckle him?
No, nobody heckled him. There was a strict no heckling policy.
Yeah, that's smart.
Yeah, so nobody was doing that. All right, let's get started.
I didn't know that there was a no heckling policy. I thought that came with the price of admission. If you wanted to heckle, you could heckle, but no.
Would you hack if you're heckling?
I think it's lame.
I'm not a booer. I'm not a booer or a heckler, but I didn't, you know, I know some people are.
But, like, if I'm at a comedy show, I don't want to hear a heckler either. I just want to hear the comedian do the routine.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right, let's get started with Shot or No Shot. We have social media speculation regarding the Bears. Buffalo Bills interior defensive lineman Ed Oliver posted a story on his Instagram saying, quote, "Show me the money or I don't want to talk," before adding posts that showed him sacking Jared Goff on the Lions, Aaron Rodgers on the Packers, and Kirk Cousins on the Vikings. He did sack Fields in their matchup this past season, but he did not post that sack. Shot or No Shot, the Bears are trading for Ed Oliver.
Well, there could be a shot here. I mean,
there's a shot. I mean, definitely there's a shot, technically.
They have his teammate already on the team in Tremaine Edmonds. This is the ninth overall pick from 2019.
Are you sure that it wasn't a half a sack of one of the guys? Because he only had 2.5 sacks on the year. So if you show a picture of him sacking Jared Goff...
Well, they may not have all been last season.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So he hasn't lived up to what they thought. Like, he's a productive player, but he's not... he hasn't lived up to the ninth overall pick. In his career, he has 14.5 sacks, 30 tackles for losses, 4 forced fumbles.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I've got all the information on Ed Oliver. I would defer to the defensive tackle on the station. The good kid would probably give you a better feel for who he is. He's 25 years of age. I don't know if he's a nose tackle or he's a 3 technique. He's the right age. You know, I mean, young, productive player. I don't know where, you know, I know they picked up his 5th year and he's scheduled to make about $10.7 million. This year in Buffalo. So
you
have
to trade for him and pay him.
Yes.
He's pressured the quarterback 153 times in his career, according to Pro Football Focus. So, I mean, like, what are you giving up for a player
here,
like that?
This is why I would say shot, okay? Because you do have some draft capital. You do have the space, and you're going to have to spend some money here, as you were informing me at one of the breaks. And you've got a need on your defensive line, a big need. He's 25. He's not 31 years of age. I think that was one of the issues with Hargrave, the free agent that was signed out of Philadelphia, went to San Francisco. I think his age was something that probably kept the Bears from being more interested and willing to pay him. Ed Oliver's 25 and will be 25 for the vast majority of the season. So you got a need. He plays, you know, a position where you need him, or you need talent. You've got some draft currency. You've got some cash. I would say shot. I don't know how big a shot.
Can I add this? Brad Spielberg, this is what you were referring to. Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus. He is a new Trier guy, local guy, Bears fan, I believe, still. Tweeted last night that he believes the Bears need to spend another $45 million or so in 2023 cash, even after paying the current draft picks. I expect them to be active in the cap casualty market with veterans that wait later in the offseason to sign closer to week one.
So what he's saying is it is required by the NFL rules that they have to spend a certain amount of money.
To reach the floor.
To reach the floor. And I think it's cumulative. They take the average of 3 years, I think is something like that. Regardless of what the specifics are, they have to spend more money.
Like, I know people have said, like, maybe they save some for next year. They may not be able to save some.
What they can do, though, is spend on one-year deals that evaporate at the end of this season.
They can, and they can also use some of that money on some of their own players that they feel are worthy of team, I would say, team-friendly extensions.
So there are options to spend in a way that leaves a chunk of that open next season, but you do still have to spend it. And I think the exact is 95% of your cap has to be spent over a rolling four-year period.
Right. And then spend heavy this year then descending contract.
I think the interesting part here is that you've got a player who has come, who is in the midst of a program, in the middle of a program, literally, because he plays on the defensive line, that has built a tradition of winning in recent years that is somehow, even in a distant way, referencing our team. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this is, if we are to read the social media tea leaves, if Chicago is a required destination or an interesting destination or desirable destination for some, why is that? Does Ed Oliver think it'd be a good place to play because they have a need? Does Ed Oliver also know that the Bears have to spend a ton of money and there's a lot of cash that may be a giant bag waiting for him?
Maybe he knows that there are trade talks going on. Maybe Tremaine Edmonds is recruiting him.
Yes, so maybe he just wants to get paid, and he knows the Bears have the most money to spend. I don't know, but it used to be everyone ignored us because nobody wanted to come here because we stunk.
I don't think that's not the case.
Really?
Now you sound like a caller. when we've had money, players have come. Who has not come here because the Bears have stunk? Can you name one?
Guys that have chosen to go elsewhere. I mean, there are certain guys that will go to a team that gives them a chance to win.
Name one.
I don't know. Jalen Ramsey may have said to his representatives, I'm not going to Chicago, so don't trade me there.
When we had money, Julius Peppers came.
The team was
good.
When
we had money, Musa Muhammad came.
The team was better than it was right now.
When we had money, Allen Robinson came.
Guys are going to go to the place that pays them the most. Simple. I'm just telling you, in the age of social media that didn't exist on that front back in Moose and Muhammad's day, it's nice to know that there are guys around the league that say, hey, you know what? I want to go to Chicago. It makes me feel warm and fuzzy. Again,
Ed
Oliver may want to come to Chicago because we have the greatest bank available.
Shay.
All right, I want to ask a pitch clock question. Major League Baseball sent out a memo detailing tweaks to the pitch clock. Biggest change is going to be delayed start to the clock in the case of pitcher fielding plays or, quote, big swings by a hitter that need a moment for recovery. Ridiculous. The big debate of the day, though, was if the pitch clock should be shut off for the postseason and final innings of games. Shot or no shot, MLB should do away with the clock in the playoffs and ninth inning.
You know, I'm a big pitch clock guy.
Did you see the video, though? Somebody posted the final at-bat, Shohei versus Trout.
I'm okay. Like, the NFL changes its rules for the postseason.
Absolutely.
I'm okay with doing things differently in the postseason. And I'm okay with, like, when the closer comes in, doing things differently.
I'm all for common sense adjustments.
Yeah.
I'm totally. Shot for me. I'm okay if they make some tweaks to these rules that make sense. And I think what they're asking isn't out of bounds from my perspective. We'll see how it all goes. But like the thing I was mentioning to you, and I know you saw it, was the Shohei-Mike Trout matchup in the final out of the WBC championship game. Shohei did not deliver a pitch that would have been inside the rules or the amount of time allowed in any of the pitches he threw to Mike Trout.
And it looked
he went over the allotted time. What is it, 15 seconds for no one on base?
Right.
Why
rush that?
Exactly. And did you feel like you were waiting for something?
It was awesome.
So I think that if you can do it in a common sense manner, I got no problem with tweaking.
But with 162 games, the quicker pace is better.
Of course. This is going to have to be adjusted, I think, in some ways as we go along.
But it's weird that the big swings And, like, they're winded after a ball in play?
They're also saying, too, weren't they saying, Shay, that, like, if you're the shortstop and you make a great diving player, you run, you know, all the way to the outfield in foul territory, you should have a little extra time to get ready before you come to the plate if you're up first in the inning and you're half of the inning.
Okay.
So.
But do you know what the best part of this is? And this is an X shot or no shot question. They're going to hold some people accountable in terms of the pitch clock. This is a quote from the memo. New standards will be enforced for bat boys and bat girls whose ability to quickly retrieve equipment will help efforts to speed up the game. The league will evaluate the performances of bat boys and bat girls and could ask teams to replace them if their performance is considered substandard.
Hell yes,
shot or no shot. Punishing the bat boys and bat girls, the best part of the pitch clock.
Listen, this is Major League Baseball. This isn't a Sunday softball game. Like,
wait a minute. Like there have been like little kids who have been bat boys and bat girls who like they want to be there for their favorite team. So now we're putting them through a combine and like some sort of a
task. If you can't get my timber to me in time, then I'm sorry. We're going to have to find someone other than little Johnny.
Get Waddle his wood, damn it.
That's right. Bring me my timber.
And pine tar.
Yes.
You better pine tar that sucker up.
This isn't the country fair. I mean, it's just, you don't buy a ticket to go out there and be a bat boy or girl. There's a rule.
So, like, in tennis, like, those ball boys.
Do you know how hard they work?
They have to hustle.
Yes.
Kramer tried to be one of those. He couldn't hustle.
You lollygag. It's U.S. Open. What happens to you?
You're out.
Exactly.
So, now the bat boys and bat girls must be up to standard. Analytics now are going to be involved in the bat boys and bat girls.
Nobody is telling you have to have a 40-inch vertical and run a 4-4. You just, again, let common sense be your beacon. If I got Johnny who's lollygagging and isn't doing his job and he's slowing down a Major League Baseball game, he's got to go. Gone. See you.
Does the bat boy and bat girl need the uniform?
If they want to wear it, fine. Just do your job in an expedited manner.
No, but I love that they've always had the full uniform on, too.
Well, you got to wear the helmet because we don't want anyone getting hurt.
That's fine. I'm all for safety. I'm saying, do they need the full uniform?
Can you imagine, like, the ball boy on the baseline of an NBA game wearing the team's jersey, shorts?
That'd be great.
Mandatory.
Mandatory.
It's always funny, like, the evolution of how people dress. Like, the NBA coach back in the day had to wear a suit. Now we finally have evolved, like, dude, what are you doing? You're coaching a game. Why don't you just wear leisure wear? And now they're just wearing, like, they're wearing joggers and they're wearing a zip-up.
That's what, like, watching college basketball, I don't get why Mike Woodson, the head coach in Indiana, still wears the suit. Everybody else has moved on to the track jacket or, like a windbreaker, a pullover, and Mike Woodson's still full suit. There's no way that's comfortable coaching a basketball game.
Hey, listen, that's how he likes to get his business done. That's his business look. He's all business. In practice, he may wear, you know, a sweat top. I don't care. I'd go out there and wear the suit to practice.
Then?
I don't know.
He wear a sweater vest.
There you go.
Practice. Yeah.
Shouldn't you practice how you play, Tommy?
What? So a sweater vest with no shirt underneath it.
Shouldn't you practice how you play?
That's a fair statement. Listen, I think it's silly. I think it's silly that David Ross is wearing baseball pants in the dugout.
Yeah, I know. Now at least they're wearing, instead of like the jerseys, they're putting on the pullover.
Yeah. No, I think this was all COVID-related, wasn't it?
It's so
if
silly.
If you go back to
It
took a pandemic in the bubble.
It changed the way
our
coaches and managers have dressed.
Am I right? It totally changed when they went into the bubble.
Yes.
We're just stupid.
All right, shot or no shot. We go around the NFL next.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Waddle and Sylvie normally 2 to 6 in for Cap and J-Hood in the old National Bank Studio. We'll have a Connie's Takeover today. So, be eating some Connie's Frozen Pizza. It's the official frozen pizza of the Waddle and Sylvie Show.
Oh, morning pizza.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Good morning pie. Let's do this.
Cap will be on later today. Hoodie's on vacation, Let's go around the NFL.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
I missed that line, Jay.
Which one?
The other day. Yeah, we can play it again.
You'll hear it.
Yeah, the Eggman line.
Yeah. It's a good
first
line.
First day I missed it. Today I caught it. I'm 56 years old. I'm going on 16. You know, so I chuckled like a young kid.
Yeah, it's a good one. Yeah. All right, boys. Let's start with this. A lot of rave reviews for Ryan Poles and the Bears offseason. Kyle Brandt may have had the most rave review yet. Listen to this.
Do you want me to play it? Should I play it? Was that my cue?
I think the poker analogy is perfect. This guy's a cyborg. He doesn't blink. It's exactly what they needed. And I even look before now. I don't even look in free agency. He shows up last year. Roquan Smith is by far the best player on the team. Watch any game. Watch any practice. I worked training camp for the network last year. Roquan wasn't even participating. He was still the best guy. And Ryan pulls up and goes, nah, we're not paying you. Goodbye. Someone else can do it. And it's like, that's big brass cojones to do that. You pay Roquan. He's young. You drafted him. He's a great. He just said bye. And I just respected that, how cold it was and how cold-blooded and how this is not personal. It's business. And then he just sits there. He's got all the money in the world, and he could have sat on that number one pick. He said, no, I'm going to take the deal right now, and I'm going to move down. It's almost erotic. There is a following for Ryan Poles right now in Chicago. And I'm telling you, he is polling rather well. Let's put it that way.
Almost erotic. Do we have to pump the brakes a little bit? Or?
I mean, Kyle's an entertainer. He's, well, look, you want to hump over there, yeah. I mean, don't you? I mean, I think all Chicago fans, I like the direction. Like I'm just taking it slow and easy right now, though.
I'll be on board when this draft class is awesome.
Yeah. But,
like, in a year or two, if this draft class is awesome after this season plays out and we've got multiple starters who are flying around. Yeah. Flying around. When they're flying around and they're making plays from this draft class, then I'll call it erotic. But until then, I like what he's done.
Absolutely.
There have been some things, too, that we can all question. But I do like how he's handling things.
Totally
But
agree.
Nothing is erotica.
Yeah, no, we're not there yet. We were 3-14 last year as a team. There's some things to be excited about. There's a chance that this rebuild could take a shorter period of time than many thought initially. But I'm holding back all of the erotic conversation for right now. That's just me.
Will you have an erotic conversation if they get really good? Will you be breathy?
I'll be willing to have that conversation about football erotica with Kyle Brandt whenever he wants. Let's say if the Bears find their way into one of the wild card spots in 2023.
I think you would have an erotic conversation with Kyle Brandt no matter what.
That's probably true because
you
I think
have a man crush on him.
He's an entertaining guy, an entertaining young man. I don't know how young he is, but he's very entertaining to me. Football's supposed to be entertaining. He makes it even more entertaining when he's commenting on
it. He had a big thing on getting out of elevators yesterday. He is the big beef with people. I guess it's getting into elevators. Big beef with people who are acting like they're like weaving through traffic, not letting people off the elevator.
Really?
You know,
yeah, like, you got to be courteous in all walks.
Yeah, let people out of the elevator first before you get into the elevator.
Of course.
I had that happen to me on the bus. Getting on the bus right out here, people, you should know by now. You get out the door in the back, you get on the door in the front, and these people are walking to the front of the bus to go out the front door while I'm trying to scan my pass and get on. I had to get off the bus and let them out.
Is that a big thing? Like, you can't get off the bus in the front of the bus?
You're supposed to get off the back door so
do
that you
get off the bus running now that you work in Chicago?
Do I what?
Get off the bus running now that you work in Chicago? It's a football joke.
Oh,
we
no.
get off the bus
no.
running.
No.
It's kind of like the human body where you go in the body at the front and go out the body through the back.
That's life. It goes in the front, out the back. You should know this.
How about just, you can learn a lot about a person and who they are with how they handle themselves in even the most simple of situations. Like, if you're not holding the door for somebody who you know is trailing right behind you, and you get to the door first, either you open the door and allow that person to go in before you, or if you want to go in first, you hold the door open for that person. If not, you're a horrible human being.
What if you go in and then slam it shut?
Then you should be incarcerated.
That's always a good one.
I'm just saying, let's start treating people better.
Marshmallow on Twitch says, oh, please, everyone gets off at the front if it's packed.
No, that's not true. Well, if it's packed, that's different. This bus wasn't packed. It was 10:45 in the morning. I was going home. There's like five people on it.
However you do it, if you do it with courtesy and class, it's much better than doing it as a jag.
That's okay? Right. That's true.
It's a simple rule in life. Don't be a...
jag.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the Jets? They made a move yesterday. Not the one we're all waiting on, but they made a couple moves. They traded... They signed Mecole Hardman, and then they traded Elijah Moore to the Browns along with a third-round pick. In return, they get a second-round pick. It will be number 42 overall.
I like the addition of Hardman. I think that he was, you know, he's going to add something to that offense. And as you and I were talking, I think it's an upgrade from, listen, if you wanted to bring Randall Cobb, who's had a great NFL career, along with you, that's not necessary now because they're adding other pieces to their puzzle.
Is he on the Rodgers list, though? Did they give him Hardman?
So.
Did Rodgers give him Hardman?
I don't know.
MVS was the...
Well, they're not getting him because he's in Kansas City doing good stuff.
Wasn't Hardman a Fields guy, too? Wasn't Fields working out with him? Didn't they know each other through Georgia?
That I don't know.
Earlier in the offseason?
Yeah, it could be. I'm a little surprised. Listen, I don't think Elijah Moore was in... didn't really...
He was in good graces.
Yeah, something was off there. I think he's a very talented player.
He demanded a trade like week four of the regular season because he had been phased out of the offense. And so, he wanted out.
Yeah.
Something stood out from Ohio State's pro day.
Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah, everybody obviously talked about C.J. Stroud, but the second person was somebody who's not even eligible to be drafted. Brought to mind the question, should the NFL change the three-year rule? Like, if there's a player who's clearly a first-round talent after 2 years, should you be allowed to just draft them to the NFL?
Yes. Like, if they're ready, yes. Why not? Why is it okay...
Everyone is physically ready to go out there and get their ass kicked by a 26-year-old.
I know football is different than basketball, but why can a basketball player leave after a year, but a football player has to stay for three?
Well, I think that's the reason why they're using physicality.
What
of
if
the
someone
sport.
Is ready?
And
shouldn't that be up to the NFL personnel?
Do you know what I think these rules do? They protect the NFL people from themselves is what they do. Whether that's right or wrong, they put these rules in place so you're not tempted to go draft the 19-year-old kid and stash him somewhere or draft him when he's not ready to go. If it ain't broken, don't fix it. So I'm okay with a rule. I'm okay with the rule as it is now. And again, I think that the reason why I would say that is because of the physical nature of this sport.
All right. So we also have Mike McGlinchey talking about the offensive line. He called offensive lineman acquisitions socks and underwear for Christmas.
Damn, that's an expensive socks and underwear.
What, like a necessity but not sexy?
You know you need it, but it's not exciting when you open it. That's what getting an offensive lineman is, according to Mike McGlinchey.
If you sign the right offensive lineman to me, that's like pasties and no.
What do you mean pasties? Who are you getting pasties from?
I just thought of something more erotic. Is this football? Erotic time?
I think it's more.
I thought this was the erotic football conversation.
That's in 5 minutes.
Pasties. Right. I think this is my favorite segment coming up on Cap and Jay Hood. This is when Shay turns into Maury Povich, and we go into Deal Breakers, and it's coming up next.
Here's today's headline with Captain Jay Hood.
Good old-fashioned boat race out at the UC last night as the Sixers pounded the Bulls Sixers got out to a 17-0 lead in the first 3 minutes. Philly never looked back. They dominated the Bulls throughout the game. Sadly, DeMar DeRozan left the game in the third quarter with a quad injury, did not speak to the media after the game. Ja Morant returned to the Grizzlies yesterday, got a standing O before the game after his two-week absence from the team. Morant scored 17 to go along with 5 assists and 2 steals in their win over the Rockets. The World Baseball Classic Final was consumed by many. They drew an average of 4.48 million views, beating every 2022 game on FS1 except Game 4 of the NLCS. No regular season game had been so highly viewed since Red Sox-Yankees in 2011. Final finished third behind The Voice and FBI, but 3 of the WBC's 5 highest-rated games ever came in 2023. And Michael Jordan is in negotiations to sell at least a portion of the Charlotte Hornets to a group that includes minority owner Gabe Plotkin. Those are your headlines.
You're listening to Cap'n Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at TheCatMan and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
We all have to make choices in sports and in life. It could be running on third down.
You ran the same third down situation, and you ran the same play twice. You're getting paid for that.
I cannot believe the call.
Or managing finances.
This country, you've got to make the money first.
Or it could be a deal breaker.
This is my favorite. We're in for Cap'n Jay Hood. This is where Hoodie usually jokes that this isn't the People's Court. He makes a Doug Llewellyn joke.
What was the People's? We were just having a Maury Povich conversation off the air. When did People's Court go away?
I feel like it's
long
still,
time.
I feel like a long time. The original version of it,
right?
It might
with
still
Wagner
be on
back,
in some
yeah.
capacity.
It's still on, but it was canceled this year.
Was it?
Oh, okay.
Along
Wagner.
With Judge Mathis.
Wapner was an old, angry SOB, wasn't
yes,
he?
Right? He's nothing sacred. What are we losing when People's Court and Judge Mathis are going by the wayside? Maury Povich is over.
Everyone's on TikTok. They don't have that 30 minutes to spend watching the nonsense when they can see it on TikTok.
This segment basically is a combo of Maury Povich and Springer.
Yeah, a little bit.
This is what this is.
It's a staple of Americana. So
let's go. Let's get to these scenarios.
Quite a combo.
I love this. This is I've sent Shay some scenarios when I've heard them. I mean, and he goes really good. Like, let's have it. Go ahead.
All right. You stopped seeing your most recent serious girlfriend over a year ago. Your friend is out to dinner one night, calls you and says they swear they see this ex-girlfriend at the same restaurant eating with your mother and your sister. You talk to your family about this. You ask if they were out to eat with your ex. They tell you that since the breakup, they've been getting dinner with your ex-girlfriend twice a month. How do you react to this?
Well, is this a deal breaker with my family? Am I pulling an Aaron Rodgers? Is that what you're asking
me? I don't know. You tell me. It doesn't always have to be a deal breaker either. How do you react to this situation?
I think it's weird. I think it's, to each their own.
That's
if they
fine.
All want to be
yeah.
friends, it's my ex.
Yeah,
we broke up for a reason.
I'm not bothered by it. Listen, if this is a strategic move by the ex trying to get back into my world and I don't want her back in my world, I will let them know that having dinner with my sister and my mom twice a month isn't going to change anything.
Now, if my sister is dating my ex, that's a different story.
Who is that the deal breaker with?
Yeah, I think everybody. I don't care.
You don't? Whatever
really?
Makes you happy. I don't care.
You are the father.
What about...
No, I'm not!
But what about... You would definitely be the father, Jay Moore. I mean, I don't think there's any question about that.
That's not necessarily true.
Yes, it is.
They could take a different path. She's dating your ex. Your sister's dating your ex.
Well...
That's what I'm saying. There's no way you're the father. There's no way anyone else could be the father.
I mean, how far along are we in this relationship?
Is
I don't know.
Is a calculus thing happening?
Yeah, I mean,
go ahead.
All right. You go out to dinner with a woman on a first date after two of your friends set you up. When the meal comes, you offer her a bite of your steak and she takes it. You ask if you could have a bite of her dish and she tells you she doesn't believe in sharing food. What's hers is hers. How do you react to that?
I like that. I'm a big fan of that mentality. that's good to know early on. And I'm not like, I'm okay sharing with my wife now, but I'm a big believer in let's order enough food because I've got to have enough food for me.
I get very angry if I don't get enough food in me.
I'm not big on sharing. Yes. So yeah.
So you're saying I'm able to share with her, but she's not sharing with me.
Right.
Whatever.
Boy, you are just flying by the seat of your pants.
So many rules. I don't give a rat's ass. Hey, you want a bite of my steak? Sure. I'm not going to ask unless it's my wife. Like I've asked my wife, but I can't imagine going back in time on a date where I'd say, hey, you know, that chicken piccata looks great. You mind if I have a piece?
Yeah, exactly. I would have ordered it.
Yeah. But
do you know what I really...
I wouldn't have asked.
Sometimes it annoys me when my wife is like, oh, this is great. You got to try it. And I have no taste for it. She goes, you got to try it. Trust me. It's really, really good. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm good. No, you got to try it. Like, the insistence on having to try this.
Well, you can always get up and walk out. I mean, just leave her there.
I'm good. I am good with
my food.
You
call the waiter over and say, you know what? I need mine putting a container. I'm getting out of here. Leave my wife here. Let her bother you, not me.
She's going to ask you to try her meal, but I'm out.
That's a great idea. All right, ready?
See how would she be shocked if you just this got is, up and said, you know what, I'm out of here.
Let's get to the salacious stuff. Well, enough about sharing and having meals with your sister.
All right, you asked for it. You've been dating a woman. Things are going great, but there's one problem. She outright, hard line, refuses to go downstairs, if you catch my drift.
What do you mean? She won't watch TV in the basement?
That's a good one. One for you and the funny meter. Scoreboard. You just hit it. You lit it up like a Christmas tree.
It was good. She
She refuses to go down into the basement, take the trash out.
She doesn't enjoy when Oral Roberts goes on a run in March Madness. It's not her favorite. She will not go downstairs. She's strictly an uptown girl.
Okay.
Is this a deal breaker?
Now, when you go over to her house, though, does she expect you to enjoy her basement?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And the garage.
She doesn't want to do it for you, but you have to do it for her. Yeah, you've got to go all in.
Bomb shelter and all.
So shelter.
She's a fan of the six, but not the nine.
Correct.
You do me, I'll owe you one.
It's
68, isn't it? Is that what it's called?
Is that a deal breaker? I'd say no. No, it's not a deal breaker.
You grew up from 838 to 843. You actually grew up.
Not a deal breaker.
It can't be.
Not
what
a
if
deal
she
breaker.
Is the, that woman could be the best mother of all time. She could be a
well,
good.
You,
she
you,
could,
you,
you know what? She could be an executive with IBM or somewhere too, and is a good earner. She makes you, you together, well, your you, life is
you
brilliant.
Win, you went to Moneymaker?
Both.
Well, I mean, there
I started
are other
with mother.
Things.
I started with mother.
There are, well, let's get back to the erotica. There are other things that you can still do in that department that doesn't involve the basement.
Listen, call Carm. He's got a foot concept for you.
She will go. Yeah, she will go to the basement, just she will not. She will not eat in the basement.
Oh, God.
Right, there's no food policy in the basement, is what you're saying.
Correct.
I think
he made his point when he said the Oral Roberts comment. I think, she was not a big fan of them going on a run in a tournament.
So she's not an Oral Roberts fan. Yeah.
The basement's not finished, correct?
Yeah, correct.
There you go.
It's under construction.
There you go.
She's got to put up the upholstery and things like that.
You have to visit the basement. If the basement is open, there's no dining table down there. If the basement is
no
a
buffet.
If the basement is just a do not visit thing, then that's a deal breaker.
Well, yeah, I mean, as if you want a family, you know, I mean, it's kind of hard to have a family if you never go to the basement.
But you the no eating policy in the basement
Correct.
Is understandable, but there are other things that can happen in the
Listen,
basement.
The basement's open for business. She's just...
She will not eat.
Yeah, she's not going to pray in the basement.
Like, sometimes you don't. You're going to get mice in the basement if you eat. There are going to be crumbs, things like that.
Just a furnace and a hot water heater. That's it.
You got to keep things going, Jay. You just got to keep it. You know, the house still got to run. I mean, you got to take a shower. You got to stay warm. It's interesting.
So it's unbelievable. No deal breaker.
No. Are you surprised?
That is a little surprising.
How shallow is your show?
I had Sylvie pegged deal breaker with
Come on. Do you have one that could be a deal breaker for us?
I think so. It's a workplace deal breaker.
Do you want to go to that next?
By the way,
my daughter just texted me. Yeah. This segment is terrifying.
Oh, really? Yeah. She's terrified by it.
My 30-year-old just texted me.
Sorry,
this segment
Georgia.
Is terrifying.
Sorry.
This is what your dad does, Georgia. I'm sorry. I'm a failure.
This is how he pays the bills. Yeah. Look at that.
Has she had a shower yet? I'm talking about a wedding shower.
Not yet, no.
Why don't you have deal breakers at her shower?
No.
An icebreaker.
Yep. In fact, I'm going with the future in-laws today for a tasting at the hotel. So this conversation stays here.
More deal breakers next.